It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, and water. What it means is that government controls it through rules and regulations.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
Under this guise of bipartisanship and nonpartisanship, it's actually tapped down the truth.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
On an equal field in the battle of ideas, mistruths or misconceptions, and it is getting us into a world of hurt.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. It's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. We've got our podcast. We highlight our new podcasts and our op-eds there. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And another important show planned for you today. We'll be talking with the candidate for district attorney in Adams County, Tim McCormick, and then Reopen Colorado, the Reopen Colorado founder, that is Andrew Royce. He was challenged by his wife to do something. He was so concerned about our businesses being closed down. So he started a Facebook page, Reopen Colorado. That was back in mid-April, and it has 25,000 followers now. People are hungry to get our businesses really reopened. We're not opened back up in Colorado yet. And so that'll be a great conversation with Andrew in the third and fourth segment. As I always love to say, thank you to the great team that I get to work with. That is producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie. And to each of you listeners, you're treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. Be industrious and productive. Go out and follow, you know, pursue your happiness today and take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. So, producer Steve, happy Wednesday to you. Can't believe it's already Wednesday.
Yeah. And I wanted to do this up real fancy, but I thought I don't want to take any show time away from you. But just to say, there is this day, there is a statewide holiday in Mississippi. Did you know that?
No. What is it?
Well, it's the day that Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
I'm not following you on this one.
let's see. I think it was released in 1967. Bobby Gentry was the artist. And actually, Charlie and I schemed up. All the return music this morning will be Ode to Billy Joe. So.
Okay. I mean, June 3rd. Now, does it say that in the song?
The very first line was the 3rd of June in the Dusty Delta, blah, blah, blah. It's all about Mississippi.
Oh, okay.
I know your age. I can't believe you escaped this particular song in your youth.
No, I know the song. I didn't know the first line. And you know what? You didn't need to say that first part.
I'm sorry.
You did not need to say it. Yeah. So that's a secret. That is a secret, and you don't tell people that.
That could be a range of 10 years or more.
Thank you very much.
Or more.
Okay. On that note, we're going to jump right into it, though. You know, this is interesting times that we're in America. 1968, you know, there was things going on back in 1968. There was the Hong Kong flu. There were riots in the streets, and gosh, it seems like we're it's deja vu all over again, Steve.
Yeah, I mean, either go to the visuals, go to archive video, or again, all the wealth of great quotes that you come up with about people's comments on our culture from 50, 60 years ago, 100 years ago, and find out not much has changed.
And so we have to ask why, and that goes back to, you know, you need to start to put on your thinking caps, critical thinking. I mean, I see all kinds of emotion in responses to what is going on in America right now. And let's put our thinking caps on. There's no way that we can get to any solutions if we are not honest and look at these issues. And the way to do that is say what's going on, why, when, how, where, and who. And certainly what happened with George Floyd in Minneapolis is very, very tragic. It does not mean that we throw due process out the door. We search for truth and we search for justice. That is the American way. Even if everyone thinks that the person is guilty, we still have to go through the American process of due process and searching for truth and justice. Because if we do not do that, we become barbarians. And that is why the founders, in their wisdom, said that that is one of the foundations of the American idea. I stopped by, I'm back in town now, I stopped by the Capitol yesterday, and it was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and the group was starting to assemble again, and a lot of emotion, a lot of young kids. And I found it really interesting. I walked by a young couple. He appeared to be white. She appeared to, you know, I wouldn't say white, but close, you know, and I'm just saying this as just try to give you a descriptor. Young kids, they look like they were from the suburbs. They look like they were boyfriend, girlfriend, and they both had signs. I looked at her sign as they went by, and hers said, "Am I next?" And I was just a little shocked by that. You know, so this narrative that is going on in America is just so interesting. And this is happening in our blue states and our blue cities. These are cities that have been run by governors and mayors, Democrat mayors, for years and years and years. And so you know what's going to happen, Steve, is these Democrat mayors, these Democrat governors are going to say, yes, you know, we are concerned about systemic racism, and we're going to put together a task force. We're going to have a listening tour. We're going to, you know, listen to you, and things don't change. If, in fact, there was this problem, and there may be, why on earth have these cities that have been controlled by Democrats for years and years and years and years continue to have this problem, Steve?
Well, the evidence certainly speaks for itself. Chicago is a mess. There's no other way to describe Chicago, and its history is almost solidly, you know, blue. LA seems to be, we have the problem here in the last week or so. The liberal media seems to become very selective as to what they're going to cover. So you're not, you know, really get a good handle on what's happening in these different cities. But, you know, not my hometown, but place I grew up very close to is Philadelphia. And, you know, it's becoming unglued as well. So, again, a solid history of blue leadership.
Well, and then there was a black police officer that was killed in St. Louis on Monday night. Now, you know, where's the outrage for that? As you mentioned, the media is really stoking the fires, no pun intended on this. And interestingly enough, I did not see a lot of social distancing yesterday when I was down at the Capitol. And so I'm wondering where Governor Polis and Mayor Hancock were with that, because they surely didn't have a problem, you know, threatening businesses if they reopened that they would pull their licenses if, in fact, they were not social distancing and doing all these different rules and things that the bureaucrats and the politicians were telling us that we needed to do. But actually, there was not a lot of social distancing. Patty had found a piece on that. Let's see if I can find it exactly. Oh, while I'm looking at this, this is from Mises.org. And I think we mentioned this again, but it says the CDC slashed the COVID-19 fatality rate to a fraction or of an earlier estimate used to justify the lockdowns. So when we talk about the data from this whole COVID-19 thing, which we shut down our economy, and back in 1968, as our researcher Patty had come up with, is that 0.005% of the population died from the Hong Kong flu, whereas we're at 0.003 right now, and we did not shut down the economy. It was kind of a blip in, you know, in our memories, because, I mean, there was the Hong Kong flu. It's still around, but we did not shut down our businesses and decimate our economy because of that. And so you have to wonder if there's ulterior motives. And the other thing that I find, oh, go ahead, Steve.
I'm at the point where I'm not wondering anymore. I'm almost coming to the point of a conclusion. I mean, are we ready to face that, you know, other great conspiracies that we had seen in our lifetime, whether it was, you know, the assassination of JFK or even 9/11, you know, there's conspiracy people running around there. It's like, can we envision, based on Rahm Emanuel's famous statement now, never let a good, but how did he say it? You know, go to waste.
A crisis go to waste.
Yeah, never let a good crisis go to waste. Can we envision these groups, you know, conspiring and planning and saying, all right, let's get some official statements out there from the highly vaulted CDC regarding how long the virus will live on a surface, the predictions of fatality rates and whatnot. Let's get that out there again, to, you know, get this public solidly baffled as to what's really going on. And we'll do this. And now we come back and the mighty CDC is saying, well, we might have been a little wrong here. We might have been a little bit, you know, that prediction was kind of off the mark. And, well, it's too late now.
So we are at a time. I really think that a lot of this has to do with this upcoming election, Steve. But I want to go to our quote. And you're from Pennsylvania, right? You grew up in Pennsylvania?
Yep.
Okay. William Penn. He was the son of the admiral and politician Sir William Penn. Penn was a writer, an early member of the Religious Society of Friends, and founder of the English North American colony, the province of Pennsylvania. He was an early advocate of democracy and religious freedom, notable for his good relations and successful treaties with the Lenape Native Americans. Under his direction, the city of Philadelphia was planned and developed. It was planned out to be grid-like with its streets to be very easy to navigate, unlike London, where Penn was from. The streets were named with numbers and tree names. He chose to use the names of trees for the cross streets because Pennsylvania means Penn's Woods. He was born in 1644. He died in 1718 at the age of 73. And he said, if we would mend the world, we should mend ourselves and teach our children to be not what we are, but what they should be. And I thought that was really important. And, you know, we talk about education here in America, and the founders felt education was important. Education is so important to read and write and do arithmetic, to have the tools to pursue your hopes and dreams. But education has been hijacked by the teachers' unions. And instead of teaching, you know, the American principles of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, that we are all created equal, that there has been this narrative of this quote-unquote systemic racism, white privilege, dividing people into descriptors. And we are now seeing what this education system, I think, has done by the division that has just erupted here in America right now. Steve, your comment before we go to break?
Sorry, I was talking to Tim. My comments on?
Well, this narrative that we have taught our kids of systemic racism and this division and defining people by their descriptors instead of the fact that we're all human beings. You know, you rip off the descriptors, you know, the color of our, you know, our skin, or the descriptors on everything else, man, woman, or whatever. We're human beings, and we're created equal. We should have this right of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And certainly with George Floyd, his life was taken from him. That is antithetical to the American idea. And so we need to protect life. We also need to, from conception to, the time that people pass on, that needs to be protected. But liberty, our liberty to have our businesses, that needs to be protected, our pursuit of happiness. And so your quick comment on that, Steve, and then we'll go to break.
Well, okay, so I don't know how quick the comment is. A young man that I know, I when I first met him, he was maybe, probably about 10 years old, and now he's in early 30s. And he was blasting off on social media regarding the racist in the White House. And he has a child now, actually two kids. The one is probably 3 to 4 years old, and he had a picture of they got a book on this topic about raising kids and dealing with racism, and he was just so proud that they had this book to show them how to do this. And all I could think of is, how about just live it, live your life in such a way that shows him that, you know, your young son the way, instead of just going to some pre-described book on, you know, how to do it, step A, step B, step C. It just seems so sterile.
There actually is a book that's been out there for quite some time that talks about the value of each individual, and that's called the Bible. You know, the fact that Christ went to the cross for, you know, everybody. And so that would be a good one to pull out. Let's go to break, though. And before we do that, I back in town, as I mentioned, I drove by Hooters restaurants. They are open. You can drop by. Today's Wednesday. It is wing day. You get you buy 20 wings, you get 10 extra. They have all kinds of specials, and kids eat free if you order an adult entree. And so treat yourself. Go out to Hooters restaurants, or if you want to pick up dinner, you can go to order.hooters.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll be chatting with Tim McCormick. He is a candidate for district attorney in Adams County. Very important races. And so stay tuned.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Sleepy, dusty Delta day. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. All the podcasts of the shows are there, as well as our op-eds, sounding off with Kim Munson podcasts. There's just all kinds of great stuff there. On the line with me is the candidate for district attorney, Adams County, Tim McCormick. Tim, welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Kim, and good morning to your listeners, and thank you for having me on. And just to be clear, Adams and Broomfield County. Can't leave out our good over there in Broomfield. You bet. Good morning.
Okay. Well, good. I want to make sure that we know that. So, yes, district attorney candidate for Adams and Broomfield County. Tim McCormick, it's been several weeks since we visited, and these races are so, so important, but the world has totally changed since the last time we talked. We have these riots in the streets, certainly the tragic death of George Floyd. COVID-19 seems to take a bit of a backseat there. I was down stopped by the Capitol yesterday, the protesters were meeting, and there was not social distancing there. So somehow that is kind of out the window. What's your thoughts on what's going on in America right now?
Well, isn't it, it's tough to keep up. It really is. And you're right. I mean, since the last time we had the opportunity to converse, so many things have changed, and unfortunately it's changing, you know, by the minute. A couple things, you know, and I don't know why people feel the need to preface it, because it should just be a common understanding. I don't think anybody has an issue with people protesting, right? I mean, the First Amendment to the United States guarantees that right to peaceably assemble. That's given to the states through the 14th Amendment. The Supreme Court has held that it's fine. And the definition of assembly means, you know, a demonstration, a rally, parade, march, picket line, or something like that for the purpose of expressing, you know, whatever, political, social, or religious views. So I don't think anybody has an issue with that, right? Now, you know, kind of a general definition of a protest is an organized public demonstration of disapproval. Great. But when you turn it into a riot, which, you know, can be looked at as a noisy, violent, uncontrolled behavior, and the difference between the two is riots become more violent and often result in, well, as we've seen, property destruction, theft of property, assaults, well, in some cases, homicides as well. So, you know, again, I think the rule of law is very important. I've run my campaign with that. As the motto, you have to do that and defend the Constitution for sure.
Well, and you know, there's this narrative out there, Tim, that that people that are concerned about the destruction of what is happening with these riots, the destruction of property, that I mean, I think there's this underlying narrative that, my gosh, people are callous, that they would care about the destruction of property, but imply then that people don't, those same people don't care about the death of George Floyd. And that seems like a disingenuous narrative, because I think, I don't know anybody in the country that is defending the fact that this this man, you know, died. I do think that, though, that we need to make sure that we have due process, search for truth, and that let justice be served at that point. If we get to a point where we have mob rule in America, then the America that we know and love is, it's out the window.
Correct. And, you know, a couple comments. Number one, that was absolutely, it was horrendous. I mean, I've been involved in prosecution for a long time. I haven't seen anything quite like that, and hope to never see it again. My concern, though, is that all of a sudden we're lumping all men and women and first responders and law enforcement into this group. I mean, you have bad doctors, but not all but doctors are bad. You have bad lawyers, but not all lawyers are bad. You have bad politicians, not necessarily all politicians are bad. So this attack on law enforcement overall across the United States is concerning. And you bring up a great point. Rule of law and due process. You have to have due process. If those two start to crumble and they go away, then you're right. You have no law. And unless I missed it, I don't think the legislature, while they've done a lot of things, I don't think they suspended the criminal law code for Colorado. And you have ample, you know, you can look at it's Section 18, Article 9101, which is public peace and order. And it has in there definitions. It even defines for you what a riot means. And there's crimes in there, inciting a riot, arming rioters, engaging in a riot, that if injury or destruction of property results, it's a class four or class five felony, depending on the section and other. So there's some very significant, you know, penalties. And I know, and I have friends on the Denver Police Department, I'm sure that as time goes on, they'll investigate that. You just hope that they, you know, that they get prosecuted and we're not, for some purpose of a political statement or pandering, elected officials who just kind of sweep it under the rug and let them go.
Well, and this is very serious when we have people destroy other people's property, because property rights are inherent to the American idea, the fact that people can have property, that they can go out and work and try to, you know, create wealth, to create value in their products and their services that they provide. People then can freely buy those products and services. And if you're doing a good job and people want those, you'll create wealth. You'll be able to take care of yourself and your family. So property is so important, again, to the American idea. And what we're seeing with these rioters is, I guess that we could say the rioters are unbiased, because they are destroying the property of black businesses, of gay-owned businesses, of women-owned businesses. So I guess in that way, they're not prejudiced, because they're destroying all kinds of people's businesses. And there is something that really is wrong about that in my book, Tim McCormick.
Yeah, then there's no discretion. I mean, everything is fair game, which kind of goes back to what we had talked to you, what you had talked about at the beginning, where is this really about protesting Mr. Floyd's death, or is it just about going out and committing destruction? And it's, you know, we just happened to finally start to open up after this this whole public health crisis. And the primary businesses targeted are your mom-and-pop type shops, your small business owner, your, as you said, everybody. It's African-American, it's Hispanic, it's the LGBT. Anybody that owns a business was attacked. And not only that, your downtown, you know, all these government buildings were desecrated, they were graffitied, they were windows broken. Well, guess who's paying for that cleanup, and guess who's paying for that repair? Certainly not the rioters or the looters. That's you and I, the taxpayer.
And this, we're just about out of time here, but this destruction of property, to destroy something that somebody else has built, or to destroy or to desecrate. I stopped by the Capitol yesterday. I drove by the Brown Palace, you know, which is a old historic hotel here. The windows were boarded up. The windows had been broken. The destruction of property, this disrespecting that what other people have built, and and there's, I mean, I just don't understand it. Because if you don't respect other people's property, you probably don't respect, you know, the things that you could do as well. I know that I'm getting somewhat philosophical. So, you know, what's your final thought on this, Tim McCormick? And then be sure we want to let people know that these races, these DA races, are so, so important, how people can reach you. But what's your final thought on this, Tim McCormick?
Sure. And my final thought is this, you know, whether it's property or you know, physical assault, everybody has a right to just go about their business and do their thing. And I think a lot of people are of the opinion, hey, look, you know, you do your thing, I'll do my thing. And there won't, you know, just don't interfere with me. But when you go out there and you have this kind of wanton and willful destruction of people's property, there has to be consequences. And that's what I'm talking about when I say, you know, I stand for the rule of law and I'm, you know, provide due process. These people have to be identified. They have to be brought into a courtroom. They have to be held accountable. And they have to, in the cases that can, you know, pay back restitution. And what's more problematic is that a lot of these people were struggling anyway, and then had the opportunity to try to reopen. And now, you know, a lot of this is going to unfortunately result in permanent closures, maybe even bankruptcy. So, you know, property rights, absolutely fundamental in the Constitution. And when someone does something like that, they have to be held accountable. That's why it's important for these races, Kim, all across the metro area, to not nominate or, I guess, vote for activist DAs who are that we've seen fail across the United States. We need to have people in these positions that can work with their communities, work with their law enforcement, work with their providers, you know, affect the court system, give them the rule of law, the due process, and hold people accountable for this type of action. Absolutely. And thank you for the opportunity to be on. It's McCormick for DA, McCormackFORDA.com. Thank you.
Well, and you mentioned one other thing, and that is restitution. If somebody wants to destroy property, then I think they need to either, you know, clean it back up after they've destroyed it, or they need to work to pay to make sure that that is cleaned up, because that is where we have responsibility for our actions in our society. And that is what a just society is responsible responsibility for our actions, Tim McCormick.
Absolutely, responsibility and accountability. And often across any DA's office, whenever there's a situation where restitution is an issue, you know, the documents are collected, they're submitted to the court, and a number is come up with, and they're asked to do that. Now, you know, the old saying, you can't get blood from a turnip, but at least you have that order in the court file, and then there can be other civil actions, garnishment, et cetera, that a person can take advantage of to try and collect on that. But absolutely, in a property type crime like that, even in an assault type crime, you know, physical violent assault, anytime there's restitution, that's pursued and the person should be held accountable.
Most definitely. So Tim McCormick, thank you so much. We'll talk to you in a few weeks. And again, that is Tim McCormick. He is running for district attorney in Adams and Broomfield County. And so let's jump over here with Jason McBride with Presidential Wealth Management. Jason, what's your thoughts about what's going on in our country right now?
Well, I think it's very disturbing on very many levels. While I'm with you, I saw the video like everybody else of what happened to Mr. Floyd, and I thought it was horrible. I don't think that destroying property and intimidating people and attacking the police and having lawlessness is connected in any way in looting and stealing. So I'm with you, Kim. I mean, I wish that these people would get held accountable for what they've done. I'm worried a lot of them are going to get arrested and then just get a slap on the wrist and be sent to do it again. But yeah, I'm like you. What a contrast. I mean, a few weeks ago, we had the media chastising people that were out in public without a mask on or that went to a swimming pool, and now we've got massive crowds of people that are ignoring all of these social distancing things, and you barely hear a peep. I wonder if we'll see a big spike in cases about 2 weeks after these riots started, and if anybody will get blamed for that or if they'll just let it go.
And so, you know, that's a really important point. Let's watch. What does the COVID numbers look like in 2 weeks? Because
do you think you'll be able to get the info anywhere, Kim?
No.
Yeah.
So on that, though, the market, you know, I'm a little surprised that the market is a little bit ho-hum about this. The market was up again over 200 points yesterday. I just kind of find that fascinating.
Well, it is pretty amazing. And the NASDAQ right now, Kim, is only 2.5% off of the all-time high. So, boy, a straight shot down, and it's almost been a straight shot back up there. I mean, that is a V-shaped recovery on the NASDAQ, if I've ever seen one. The S&P is lagging behind a little bit, but it's only about 9% off of its all-time high. The Dow and the small caps are lagging behind even a little bit more as far as the recovery goes. But the NASDAQ was kind of leading the charge before this happened, and the leaders that were leading are leading us back out of this right now. I tell you, Kim, I'm a little bit nervous, you know, about what happens through the rest of the summer when we get the second quarter numbers. You know, if employment doesn't start to come back as quickly as we hope it will, that the market might get, you know, a case of the shakes again, which is why, again, I think it's not the worst idea in the world to think about lightening up just a little bit. Take some profits, build a little bit of dry powder, and kind of, you know, wait and see what happens. You may get another opportunity to enter at lower prices, and the worst that can happen, you might miss out on a little bit of upside. But I'd always kind of rather be out and wishing I was in than in and wishing I was out.
That is a good point. So if I would recommend people sit down, do a discovery session with you and your great colleagues over there at Presidential Wealth Management, and go to our website together. We've got this great website, airpresidential.com. It has all kinds of great information. It has your podcast there. And people can reach you at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. And Jason, you have a great day. Anything else that you want our listeners to know this morning?
No, I think we covered it, and you did a great job, Kim, and we sure appreciate you.
It's a great partnership. So thank you so much, Jason McBride. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Andrew Roy, so stay tuned.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Today, Billy Joe McAllister jumped off the Tallahatchie Bridge.
Okay, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And sign up for our newsletter. It comes out on Sundays, updating you on what's the new guest that'll be coming up for the week, as well as our podcasts and our op-eds. On the line with me is Andrew Royce. He is a software account executive, and he is the founder of Reopen Colorado. But more importantly, he's a father who realized he could no longer sit on the sidelines as politicians, bureaucrats, and corrupt industries collude to control our kids' minds and bodies for their own profits and political ambitions. And he sounds like one of those founding fathers that said we need to really think about what we pass on to the next generation. So, Andrew Royce, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. I really appreciate you having me on.
You know, it's an interesting story. Middle part of April, you started a Facebook page, Reopen Colorado. And you and I met at the Reopen Colorado rally, and I asked you, you know, what happened? And apparently your wife and your sister-in-law challenged you. You were talking about how concerned you were about things happening in our state right now, and they challenged you to do something. And so you did. Did you ever dream that what you started would become what it is now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I saw what was going on in Michigan and that they had had, you know, 360,000 people on a Facebook page, and it turned into a rally, and it was getting attention. And I remarked to my wife, you know, somebody should do that. Maybe we should start a page. And I said, well, maybe I should talk to somebody. And she said, no, you should just do it. And so, you know, in a way, I expected it to be more. I think what we've run into in a way really is that Facebook has been constraining us. We saw a definite shift in the numbers that were showing up as new ads to the page right after the first rally, or right about concurrent with there when we started to really draw attention. So I think the community is even much bigger. But yeah, at 25,000 people, it was it had actual exponential growth.
Well, and people are hungry. At that first Reopen rally, we saw, you know, people came out there in their cars, and then also there were people that were out in front of the Capitol, which was civil disobedience, which, of course, there's civil disobedience going on in Colorado today. But there's a real difference. Andrew, I stopped by the Capitol yesterday, and it's been really desecrated with, you know, all the windows are boarded up on the first floor. There's, you know, writing, you know, with paint on the steps, and you know, there's just such a difference between Reopen Colorado and what is happening now. What's your thoughts on that, Andrew Royce?
Yeah, one of the things that, you know, early on people were asking, how long are people going to put up with these shutdowns, especially as the evidence started to come out that they were not driven by the science, they're driven by political realities. And that's ever more where we are. We see around the world different approaches that have been taken. And it's clear the political leaders know that this is not what it was made out to be. And the controls that still exist are to save face. But, you know, people ask, how long are people going to put up with it? And I think there's two different scenarios. One is that it really depends on how much you have to lose. And what you see in the contrast there is that, you know, a lot of the Reopen people have a lot to lose. They have their businesses, they have their families, they have responsibilities and jobs, and they respect the institutions, and they're going to do that respectfully. What you see with the other protests that are going on right now, protests and maybe quotes there, rioting and looting and things like that, you know, a lot of these people don't have much to lose. They're young people. And they know that there's not going to be accountability for their actions, which is ironically the underlying issue in both voices, right? You see the response to what happened to George Floyd. Understandably, there's a demand for accountability. And really on the Reopen side, we're in the same place. We're demanding accountability. I think we're entering a period of time where our institutions are ever more powerful, public health, police, government, and we still have limited tools to hold them accountable. And I think actually there's an interesting opportunity for a conversation that says, look, we realize that across our institutions, we need better tools to hold them accountable as our government unfortunately becomes ever more powerful. Well, how do we create accountability there? And that's really what I'm thinking a lot about and talking with our people about is how do we get that never again portion? How do we create accountability here?
You know, that is so interesting because, you know, America was founded on this idea of a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And your point that the institutions have gotten so big. So I hadn't really thought about the correlation of what that means exactly. And so certainly when an institution gets so big that, you know, that they can take away people's livelihoods and take away their lives, in effect. I mean, I guess there are direct correlations between the two big narratives. Now, I think we need to have an honest conversation about this whole narrative regarding George Floyd, because it is totally tragic that he died and that we have, quote unquote, someone involved in an institution that took away his life. But yep. That narrative is now being hijacked to take away, to destroy people's property. And that's not okay. So walk me through your thoughts on that, Andrew Royce.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this is what we're seeing, that legitimate voices of protest and challenge to government overreach get hijacked. We were very, very concerned about that in the reopen rallies. Inevitably, what happens is agitators show up with symbols of hate and division, and they make a movement look bad. And so that was our concern. We were very concerned about that, that some nut jobs were going to show up with, you know, Nazi flags and stupid things like that, that absolutely we reject categorically, and try to paint our movement. And what's sad is I see on the other side a similar, you know, hijacking of that, of the legitimate protest. And I think it's fine and it's right that people protest peacefully and that their voice is heard. You see the masses that turn out for different issues. That's an important element of our process. But yeah, they're getting hijacked. And I think that is because, you know, there's very, when there's this much power concentrated in our institutions, when you see that public health departments can act with the impunity that they do to shut down businesses. And it's, you know, people get lost when they hear businesses that, oh, well, it's just about money. And they don't realize the connection between the realities of life. If you shut down somebody's business, you crush them, you crush the people that work for them, that economic realities translate into real hardship. I mean, domestic violence is up, child abuse is up, deaths of despair by suicide and things are up. When there's economic downturn, young girls are driven into prostitution here in the United States, in poor areas and around the world. When you break down the fabric of our society, and small businesses are a huge part of the fabric of our society, all these things come rushing in. So it is not about money. And unfortunately, I think that gets lost. I mean, even the United Nations, hardly a right-wing paragon, said, look, the economic devastation will kill hundreds of thousands of children in poor countries. That's what's being unleashed, and it's being unleashed by our public health departments. Your local public health officials, which are basically the medical equivalent of the DMV, have this kind of power, and people are shocked to find that out. But that's where we're at, and we need to find ways to create accountability for the public health departments, because it's pretty clear there is zero accountability.
Okay, Andrew Royce, that's a really important point. I've thought a lot about this as well, because it looks like in some ways the local health departments have quote-unquote kind of been weaponized against everyday hardworking Coloradans, everyday hardworking Americans. Let's go to break. When we come back, let's talk about just what has happened there, because this whole administrative state that we've moved towards, where we have unaccountable bureaucrats that are making decisions for our lives, is totally antithetical to the American idea. And so in a way, the protests that have been occurring right now, and then the protests regarding Reopen Colorado, there are some correlations on that. It's when we're getting to destruction of property, when this whole protest has been hijacked and people are going out and destroying property. Again, once again, hurting these small businesses is where we are really concerned about that. Let's go to break. We'll be right back.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
Did you know Hooters wings can fly? That's right. Your favorite wings can be picked up for to-go and can even be delivered right to your doorstep. Take advantage of Hooters' delicious lunch specials, like our seaworthy Baja fish tacos, mouthwatering Western burger, or our new roasted wings. Lunch specials are available to go Monday through Friday from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Curbside service available. Place your order online at order.hooters.com. Get your wings to fly only at Hooters.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well, and go over to Facebook and give us a like. On the line with me right now is Andrew Royce. He is, by trade, he is a software account executive, but he's also a father that's been so concerned about what's happening in our country and what we're passing on to our children. And the fact that we have politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties that are putting into place rules and regulations and laws that can really affect what we put into our kids' minds, our kids' bodies. So he stepped into action regarding Reopen Colorado. And Andrew Royce, Colorado is not really reopened yet. I know that that there's been press that we are one of the blue states that is actually open, but you compare that to what happened in Michigan. I mean, my gosh, some of these governors are just keeping their states totally shut down. Yes, we are kind of sort of opening, but we're not really reopened, are we, Andrew Royce?
No, we're not. You know, they talk about phases, and we're at phase strangulation. Where, you know, reopen really means that people are free to conduct their business and survive. Right now, we're dying a slow death. And I think on all sides of the issue, we're not really dealing with the reality of the cataclysm that we've unleashed on our state and the tragic consequences of these decisions by unelected bureaucrats in the public health department. And the politicians that alternately they hide behind each other. Public health hides behind the politicians and vice versa. But together, they've unleashed, you know, a set of dominoes that's going to affect us all and bring tragedy to our doorstep year after year. This will take many years to fully recover.
Well, and I find it interesting that these politicians and bureaucrats, they have not lost their jobs. They're still making their salaries. They're still planning on their pensions that are being paid for by everyday hardworking Coloradans. And so if they really wanted to understand the, you know, what the consequences of their actions, then they should give up their salaries right now until we get Colorado totally reopened, where people can go back to work and have their businesses. But man, you know, as long as they're still making their money, I don't see that they're going to, you know, really understand what's happening to everyday people.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it would be wonderful to see the, you know, some accountability there. One of the things I think is interesting when you talk about public health department is to sort of realize that our institutions rely upon a chain of trust. So, you know, we are subject to the local health authority. Well, who do they trust? Who do they listen to? And how does that chain of authority get off, so to speak? And what you realize is that your local medical community, your doctor, your public health department, you know, many times they're dialed into the CDC. Well, then it's really important as concerned citizens that we understand the institutions and the conflicts of interest that exist in those, that we follow the money. And what you'll find if you turn over the CDC rock is a tremendous amount of corruption and influence peddling, political and based on industry profits. Unfortunately, they've become sort of a sock puppet for the pharmaceutical and medical industry. And a lot of this is downstream of basically, public policy that's been formed by, you know, billions and billions of dollars that stand to be made.
Well, and to that point is, I've had conversations with different politicians regarding this lockdown, and basically I pleaded with them to, A, first of all, be very careful about the lockdown, and then, you know, get our businesses open back up. And the comment comes back that, oh, we're just following the data. But again, I mentioned this in the first segment, that Mises.org has come out and said that the CDC slashed the COVID-19 fatality rate to a fraction of the earlier estimate. And so we've made many of these decisions based on quote-unquote CDC modeling, and then finding out that it was incorrect. And you said something interesting at the beginning of our interview, is now they're kind of trying to cover their decisions because it's very difficult for them to admit that they might have been incorrect on some of this stuff, Andrew.
Yeah, absolutely. But the silver lining in all of this is that there are countries around the world that are behaving differently, and people are aware of that. And so the political fraud that's being perpetrated to continue to pretend that these kinds of actions of shutdowns and limitations are the correct policy is being exposed. And so the politicians better beware, because the winds are changing, the realities are being seen around the world. Norway just came out and they admitted, their top public health officials said, hey, we made a big mistake. It came out of Germany. There was an internal review by 90 top university specialists and government officials, and they said basically that this was a global false alarm. And so the politicians locally better watch out, because the truth is out there, and the truth can get around the world pretty quickly, and people are going to realize, and that's what we want to do. We want to channel this. My wife always comes in at these key moments, and she said, you know what we need? We need to turn anger into action, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to turn this, and we're going to hold people accountable in November. And all the people that supported these actions explicitly, Governor Polis being the figurehead of it, and his legislative support, are going to be held accountable. And what's interesting, actually, you see they're not even backing off this. They've introduced now Representative Kyle Mulica is again pushing Senate Bill 163, which grants vast new powers to the local health departments. And I think you've talked about this with other guests on your show, but they're right back at it, giving basically the keys to a brand new car to the teenager that just wrecked it, killing all kinds of people. So, they haven't learned yet, but they will in November.
You know, and Andrew, we only have just a few minutes left, but we've kind of touched on this, but I've been so concerned about the power that has been given to these local health departments. And actually last year, regarding the forced vaccination bill, when I used to think it was above my pay grade to read this legislation. And I read the bill, and I highly recommend people, everyday people, you can read it so that you can have real conversations so that you know what is in it. And so I see all this power that has been given to these local health departments, and I'm super concerned about that. And I was taking a look at Tri-County Health, and what happens is your county commissioners appoint a board of directors. And then that board of directors hires the executive director for these public health departments. And interestingly enough, there is a board member on Tri-County Health that shares the same last name as Representative Mulica. And so I need to find out just how they're related. But I thought that was very interesting, that he's bringing forth this legislation, and yet there's somebody that's probably pretty closely related to him that is also on a board that's giving these particular health departments a lot of power. What's your final thought on this? We have about a minute left. Andrew Royce, founder of Reopen Colorado.
Yeah, there's so much, but really people just think about getting involved.
You know, there are good organizations and institutions. Of course, you can join Reopen Colorado. My vision for that at this point, the 25,000 members there, is to, you know, give people a place to become aware of the issues, the facts, the science around these things, around what public health departments are doing, and then connect with good organizations that are taking strategic action on elections, on legislation. Once real people start to pay attention, that's all that we need, because the corruption is real, the influence peddling is real, the conflicts of interest are real, and you and I and most of the people that are out there are ethical and know what's right and know what's wrong, and when they see what's going on, they know what the answer is. And right now, one of the big answers is these people need to be voted out.
And when your wife said that we need to take action, she's talking about positive action, not going out and destroying property, but to be stepping forward to make things better. So Andrew Royce, creator of Reopen Colorado, it's been a great conversation. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you, Kim.
Okay, and our quote for today is William Penn. And he said, I expect to pass through life but once. If therefore there be any kindness I can show or any good thing I can do to any fellow being, let me do it now and not defer or neglect it, as I shall not pass this way again. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.